Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Live Sports Bar on Main. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, and today, at Jerome Solomon. Tyler is still working on something. By the time we're done next week with all the fill-ins, we will have a decent Twitter for Tyler.
I hope
and,
so.
And it's...
Well, his name's Tyler.
Yeah.
Anyway, takes...
Yeah.
You know, how many Tylers do you know? You know, really.
Well,
you
know? There's one right over there, a friend of mine. So yeah, that's at least
that's
two.
That's what I'm saying. There's only a couple of good Tylers.
Well, now, if you ask me how many Fletchers I know, I'm going to say one. So Fletcher is keeping us on air out here at Live Sports Bar downtown. If you have never been here, you need to come check this place out. It is fantastic, and it's a place that I hang out when we're not doing the show here. So it's on Main Street. It's right across from the Preston Station. You cannot miss it, so come check it out. If you're just tuning in, you're looking for something to do before the Astros game, come on out here. And if you're looking for something to do to watch, someplace to watch the Astros game, come on out here. And the weather's nice. I'm looking at the Doppler, man, it looks like at least our area.
You don't see all that green?
That's green, man. Green is like blue skies in Houston these days, okay? So, no, that green
like
is
like
sort of
dark purple
us.
That scared the hell out of people.
Yeah, well, that dark purple is headed for, like, the Humble area, so you guys watch out for that. But anyway, so come on out. Jerome Solomon filling in is, most of you may know by now, AJ is off until next Friday, so he's out enjoying himself. And you had an interesting stat, well, two interesting stats, and we were talking about last hour, and I don't want to get too much into the gambling numbers, but because we're going to have RJ at 5:30, as we always do. But share those with the people. Yeah. First, share the one that had to been a, it had to been a typo, man. That had to been a triple-double.
I was thinking there's nothing but a typo because when I didn't see it until way too late, and I don't bet on games. I haven't placed a bet on a game in, you know, since before Prince was partying like it was 1999. But apparently sportsbooks were taking an 8-1 payoff. 8-1. On if LeBron James would get a double-double in last night's game. Just a double-double. Not a triple-double.
Right.
A double-double.
Yeah, that
more than 10 or more points and 10 or more rebounds or assists or block shots or steals. A double-double? Now, that was a given.
Yeah.
8-1.
How often does he do that and you're getting 8-1? You know it's happening a lot more times than one out of every eight. That has to be a typo. That's the only thing I can think of is that's a number that you would put for a triple-double.
Yeah. I could not believe it. It really jumped out at me because when I saw it, I was like, man, what in the world? How you're just giving money away because everybody would be on that. I can't wait to see what the one is for if he gets a double-double in game two.
So was that
he
on,
almost had a triple-double.
Was that on RJ's notes or was that something else?
Yeah, it was pregame.com.
Okay, well, we're going to ask RJ about that.
Because – we were talking about the Lamont asked us about the Warriors and the Cleveland turning this into a long time rivalry, a Lakers Celtics type deal or something. I'm not so sure about that, but you're only getting 3-1 on the Warriors winning the title this year and next year.
That is
not or
yeah.
And next year. So they have to win this one and next one for you to get a 3-1 payoff. That's crazy.
That bet is so ridiculous for so many reasons. Number one, do I really want to tie my money up for 2 years on a bet like that?
On 3-1?
Yeah, on 3-1. No, thank you. And number two, 3-1 is no value in that. None whatsoever. I guarantee even if the Warriors win, you're still going to get 2-1 before the season next year. Maybe more than that, depending on, you know, whether or not, you know, they sign somebody else. I don't know, but yeah, 3-1 is that's.
You get 10-1 before that last night. Obviously, you get 10-1 on the Warriors to sweep.
Yeah,
that's a better bet than 3-1 for them to win this one and next one.
Well, and their one exploded Steph Curry ankle away from not winning this series as it is.
Indeed.
So now you've got to do that and get through all of next year without that happening, and more playoff rounds and another finals, and you're only getting 3-1. Now, yeah, that's a hey man bleep that for me.
Yeah, I've been having a lot of fun, and like I said, we'll get into some of that stuff with RJ Bell. But I've been enjoying the discussion about the Warriors and how good they are, and Steph Curry specifically, and how good he is. And I don't fall in the middle of that debate, but I do think the old heads and the former players have been getting a bad rap. They're just being haters on Curry, and I don't think they are, because I haven't heard any of them say anything that wasn't true, wasn't accurate, you know. And so I kind of fall in the middle, because Curry's doing things that nobody's done. He's doing a lot of things better than anybody has ever did him, but he is doing it against a weaker field. He's doing it against some weaker players, and the best way I could quantify it was, I mentioned to you guys on the air a while back, you know, how many guys are currently playing who are in their prime are going to be all-time top 15, top 20 players ever? And there aren't that many. And usually there are. Usually there are more.
Well, I think there are some, but they're guys who are at the very end. Kobe Bryant's career,
like I said,
he hasn't been Kobe for 4 years,
right,
let's be honest.
They're not in their prime.
Tim Duncan is another one who, you know, is – he's not Tim Duncan anymore. So I think you have to take those guys out of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings you to, well, you've got LeBron James.
He's fallen into a perfect little window here of where and that doesn't diminish him at all. It's just he fell into that window. It's not his fault. It's one of those deals. And if there were eight guys who were like, oh, we're going to debate how great they are 15 years from now, Steph Curry will still be doing the same thing probably, but he's not, because those guys don't exist right now. And I know AJ threw out Kevin Durant. And I was like, yeah, Kevin Durant's got a long way to go before he's considered a top 15 player of all time.
Well, and I think that's the thing. He's going to have to produce at a high level for another 6 years to be in that conversation. And that's why I don't like these, because – it kind of gets back to something we were talking about yesterday with Danny Mata. It comes down to, you know, what have you done? And when you look at your career, and I think actually it might have been Lamont tweeted this out earlier about how, when Jordan was, if it's not you, Lamont, I apologize, but somebody tweeted out when Jordan was there was no doubt about who the best player was. Actually, there was.
Oh, yeah.
There was significant doubt year to year.
Hindsight. Not even just year to year. And now I will say this was Lamont, or I saw somebody having this debate real quick, and this fits in that same thing. They were saying that immediately people were discussing whether Jordan was the greatest of all time. No, they were not. No, they were not. They were not talking about him being the greatest of all time until 6-7 years into his career, because from the get-go, he wasn't as good as Bird and Magic, and he was just a scorer. And if you lead the league in scoring, you can't win the NBA title, because the leading scorer hadn't won NBA titles and that kind of thing. So no, we didn't have we didn't have debate like we have debate now, where we're debating.
Well, that's because we
debate whether guys' shoes are.
We didn't have Twitter. We were just getting started with ESPN. So, but I will, and I know we need to go to break here, but I'll give you a very specific example. A guy who you work with now, when he first came in as an assistant sports editor many years ago, his whole thing was, oh, let's have a. Do a story on who's better, Clyde Drexler or Michael Jordan, and make a case for both of them. And this was early on.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, you could actually make a case for Clyde. There was a time you could make a case for Akeem. There were a lot of guys you could make a case for, but you couldn't at the end of his career, after the second three titles, after everything that he did. The
party was done.
Yeah. So there was a discussion, and there were a lot of guys that you would look at and say, okay, all right, you can make that argument. Hey, there's a guy that made a brilliant argument that Akeem was better while the Rockets were winning their second title, and then, you know, Jordan came back. And then, but after that,
It all comes down to what do you actually accomplish. Mm-hmm. And if this Warriors team finishes with the best regular season ever and wins this title and then goes on to win two or three more titles, you could start talking about them as an all-time team. Can't do that until they get there.
It really is. I mean, and it's the world that we're in. We want to try to quantify everything instead of just enjoying it. Listen, I said a lot of times about what I think of them as a team. I do know this. When they're on, I'm watching. Because they are entertaining to me, and this is what it's about. It's about entertaining. I'm not watching them because they're better than the 83 76ers, because they're not. Moses would kill this team. It wouldn't even be a fair fight. And people want LeBron James. Well, you can't say he doesn't have help now. They got the big three in Cleveland. Really? Scottie Pippen was number two with Jordan, right? How much better is Pippen than Kyrie Irving and Love? How much better is Dennis Rodman than Love? It's not even close.
So what you're saying is, it's like if bald Natalie Portman walks in and wants to hook up, I should enjoy it and not worry about whether or not it was one of the best ever before it happens, right?
Not at all. I would watch.
Okay.
I'm watching because it's entertaining.
Okay, yeah. It'd be fast. All right, we're
going to
take
ain't Marilyn Monroe.
Don't be protect the pass guy. Not when it comes to hotties. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Live Sports Bar on Main. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz here at Live Sports Bar downtown. If you're just getting off work and looking for a place to come hang out, come down here. It's on Main Street, right across from the Preston Station. You can't miss it. And we'll be hanging around afterwards, going upstairs to watch the Astros game. If you're going to the game, come by beforehand. And if you're just getting off work and you want to come watch the game, you can do that.
How many fancy joints serve pork rinds?
I'm telling you, those are really good.
I know.
Those are really good. And starting next week, a new happy hour menu is going to be out there. Going to have happy hour from 4 to 7 with $5 Wells, $3 Domestics, $4 Crafts, and $5 House Wines. And they've got some good craft beer here. And they're going to get more. And I know he's working on that for those of you who are beer dorks like I am. But really cool place. What I like about this is, as I said earlier in the show, this is a place I hang out anyway. And I've been coming here a lot lately since we found it a couple months ago. The wife loves it, and that's why we're going to be celebrating her birthday here tonight. So a bunch of her friends are coming.
And they can't ticket you for drinking and walking, huh?
Yeah. Now, usually
– drinking and walking?
They can, actually, but
– drink walking? You're not even black. What you talking about?
What? No, they only arrest me when they see my last name. That's where they do that. But for the most part, I just hop on the train if I'm that drunk. So anyway, or just get me. They'll come get me.
That should be against the law.
What?
You can't get on a train with people riding public transit and you show your drunk butt up in there.
That's not
fair to the other people.
Trust me. Have you ever been on one of these trains in your life?
No.
A drunk Falcon is nothing compared to what you're going to see. Yes. What I have to do a lot of times is I pretend to be, you know, I do the same thing that when I go to Walmart, I pretend to be insane so I fit in. I'll talk to the wall.
If you're going to Walmart, you're already a step toward insanity from the get-go.
I always do. I always do stuff like, rubs the lotion on its skin, you know, when I'm on there to get people to leave me alone when I'm on the train.
You just talk to yourself.
Yeah, or I'll start preaching. Yeah.
Well, give us a sermon,
have you
Fred?
Found the Lord your Jesus? And, yeah, I'll get on there and do that, and then people leave me alone. So, no, certain times, like, the worst part is on Sunday mornings down here, it is the Walking Dead. Because there's a little free 5K we do down at UH downtown, and sometimes we'll walk down there, but a lot of times if we were out Saturday night, we're just going to get on the train and
and take it down there. And there are so many zombies on that train that, honestly, I feel like I should have weapons like they do in The Walking Dead.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you just saw what was tweeted to me, which I can't. I'll clean it up a little bit because I.
Sorry.
Shouting out to Jared, not because he got his teacher pregnant, but he smashed with a haircut like that, referring to the story we talked about yesterday.
Oh, that's
awful. I guess
awful.
2 days ago.
That's not funny. That's
no,
that's,
it's terrible. That's why I read it on air.
Sexual assault. That's not even.
No, it wasn't. I guess it was technically. Dude, if you're a kid that age, and never mind. I don't want to get started.
No, because you can't win. Because you're gonna turn it into a whole sexist thing that it's fine. If it's a boy, but it's not if it's a girl.
If it had been
it's
me,
sick and disgusting regardless.
If it had been me, I would have been fine with it. You know what?
Unless you bad hair,
Jared. You know who else would have been
That's
fine
not
with
funny.
It? My dad.
His
my
parents
dad
might be listening.
I'm just saying, I'm reading the tweet.
Your mom would not be fine with it. She'd probably be quite upset that some woman took advantage of or some woman got impregnated by her 14-year-old
that
child.
That would tick her off because she taught her son to use condoms. So... yeah, that part of it would make her angry. The rest of it, she'd be like, good job, son. Yeah, she's cute. Anyway, I don't claim to have parents that were the
now,
most responsible.
Now, you're dogging your parents.
Not
See,
really.
That's what happens when I come on the show.
My first parents were great.
First, I call his parents out, say they didn't raise him right. Yeah, it's not their fault you are who you are.
They wouldn't have judged me so harshly. How's that? They wouldn't have judged her that harshly either. I don't know. Maybe they would have.
I will say this. I'm really disappointed in local media, all of them, websites and all. When in this kind of situation, when somebody's charged with what this person is charged with, wouldn't you just go ahead and stick with the mugshot? Isn't that all you need? Why do you have to show all these other photos?
Yeah.
That's clickbait.
It is.
That's disgusting.
Don't get me started on clickbait.
You know that's not cool. I mean, it's a crime.
I'll go into another 20-minute.
Put her rant. Under the jail. And hand out the key to some folks.
What are you saying? You going to visit her and write a story?
If it's newsworthy.
Okay, just checking. Disco Biscuit saw a drunk homeless man pole dancing and then lick one of the pole handles on the train, and that's not even the weirdest thing I've seen.
I haven't been on public transportation in Houston in so long, I couldn't even tell you. Wow. I don't know. I ride everywhere else. I'm in New York and D.C., Atlanta. I mean, all over. London, Greece, Athens, you know, Beijing. But Houston, no, I keep a car. It's not for me.
See, I like that I can walk everywhere or ride my bike or jump on the train. And that's why I live down here. It's because, you know, I like to drink. I like to go out and drink a lot, and I don't like to get behind the wheel anymore. And I had enough incidents of driving home when I shouldn't have been that, I just decided I'm not doing that anymore.
Very wise, in fact.
And part of it's living down here. So, and downtown is getting much better. It's a shame that they moved you guys out of it. But,
yes.
A lot of people tell me the parents were okay with it. I remember that from the story yesterday. They brought him home as his girlfriend and everything. So, but there's a whole bunch of new apartments being built down here. There's a lot of people that are going to be moving downtown, and it's still very safe. The only things I don't like about it, living down here are the homeless problem is still very bad,
right.
And it's hit and miss. Sometimes they get them off the streets, and sometimes they're just harassing you everywhere you go. But that's any major city, you're going to have that. But where I live, it's just the constant sirens. I mean, it never stops. It's like you either get used to it or...
Yeah, have you seen one of those interactive maps that they do now on places where murders were committed?
Yeah.
And it's all lit up in downtown Houston, and there's just sprinkled out in other areas.
Well, the areas that are around here, and there's one area of downtown that basically all the shootings happen, and it's on the other side of downtown, and it's a park, and basically I guess that's where all the drug deals go down, and so therefore that's where all the shooting is. But for the most part, it's pretty damn safe down here.
I'm comfortable downtown.
I never have been in a situation where I felt threatened walking anywhere here. So,
and it gets safe. It should be safer now than it's ever been with the Minute Maid Park there, with Toyota Center, with BBVA Compass. You have so many more people and so much more activity than we had 20 years ago. That clearly it should be safer, and it probably is. It's just
it is actually
you live here, so
yeah. The crime rate is pretty low here, and like I said, those are just things that I find irritating. I feel like I can walk home at 3 a.m. down here and feel completely safe.
Or stumble.
Well, more often than not, it is stumbling. That's true. But all right, we're gonna take a quick break. We come back, RJ Bell will be joining us, as he always does on Friday. We'll talk a little gambling. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Set your clock and grab your jock.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Live Sports Bar on Main. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live at Live Sports Bar downtown, which is one of my new favorite places. So come on by if you're on your way to the Astros game. No A.J. Hoffman today, but filling in quite ably, as he always does, is Jerome Solomon. And joining us now, as he does every Friday, as you know from that music, is the best guest we ever have, our good friend RJ Bell, pregame.com. You can follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Mr. Bell, how's it going, my friend?
I kind of like that, because it's one thing to be the best guest you currently have, but to be the best guest of all time, I like it.
Well, there's a reason we keep having you back, you know, every week. Hey, I got to ask you about a number that from the Game 1 props you sent us that has to be a typo. It has to be, because if this were the case, I'm going to be really pissed that I didn't see it. 8-1 payoff if LeBron James achieves a Game 2 double or a triple-double. Okay, the first one had double-double.
Yeah, you know, actually that was a typo. So it was a triple-double. And now what's interesting is they actually do have a prop. Will Clay Thompson achieve a double-double, 16-1. Now think about that a second. You got a guy, some saying, you know, the second part of the best backcourt in NBA history, but the odds are 16-1 that he would get either 10 rebounds or 10 assists. That seems very very points specific if he's one of the best of all time. But yes, double-double Klay Thompson, 16-1, LeBron James, triple-double, 8-1.
Okay, that makes more sense.
I was worried about y'all. I was like, y'all are just giving money away on a double-double.
Well, you know Vegas doesn't do that.
No. And there was one other on there about you can take the Warriors to win this year and next year for 3-1, which I just think is an awful bet for a million reasons. I mean, tying your money up that long to get 3-1. When they've only won one game in this series, where there were favorites, but not ridiculous favorites, to only be 3-1 to win this year and next year.
You know, another host brought that up, but if you really think about it, right now they are Golden State is -400 to win this series. So 77% chance, 400 wins you 100. And now the question is, next year, forget this year, what do you make Golden State next year? Right now, they're clearly the favorite, right? Are they 2-1? Are they 3-1? What are they for next year?
I'm thinking 2-1.
Okay. So if you're 2-1 in one sense, but then in this year you're -400, it comes out right around 3-1. So if anything, 3-1 is a nice payout. So I think that the idea of winning twice in a row feels big, and it is, but you got to remember, 77% chance to win it this year.
And real quick, RJ, on Vegas just taking people's money, Klay Thompson, season high for rebounds, 7. Season high for assists, 7. He won't be getting a double-double. So that's one of those, yeah, just give us your money.
Wait a minute. You're saying the entire season – He never had one game with more than 7 rebounds.
No game with more than 7 rebounds. No game with more than 7 assists, even.
That is unbelievable.
those odds need to be bigger for double-double.
The idea you're going to go a whole season and not get 8. You think that 5 of them is going to just drop your way randomly one game.
Yeah, you think that you grab a couple of offensive boards from some of those long bombs you're shooting just to pull them in, yeah.
You know, I'm 5'11". I don't think I could necessarily get 7 rebounds, but still.
What about 10 turnovers, though? That's doable.
Does that count? That doesn't count in the
triple.
Sure,
it's a double-double. It's not a
steals, blocks, or anything. He had one game last year.
Even you're saying a negative. I get the idea of steals or blocks, right? Because didn't Hakeem had the quadruple double, right?
Indeed, yeah, with blocks and steals.
Yeah, yeah. So, but you're saying if you have turnovers, it's I don't think so.
You don't think that one counts?
No.
Probably
I hope not.
RJ Bell joining us.
Then I could maybe get not a double double, but I could get a double in an NBA game.
you can get that, no question. This one is a little off the beating track just a bit, but with the Baylor scandal, with Art Briles out, I don't know if you guys talked about that last week at all, and now Jim Grobe stepping in, and he just held a press conference an hour ago and said he's going to run the exact same offense and the same defense, but clearly it won't be the same because Art Briles isn't there. How does that affect the Vegas odds, or have they just taken Baylor off the board?
Oh, no. So usually what they'll do is if Vegas believes there's uncertainty, they'll keep something off the board for a while. But once the situation is defined, they're going to price it. And that's really what odds are, pricing the positive or negative of a certain event. And Browse and all of this controversy has been a clear negative. We talked about it a little last week, but we'll go over it real quick. 12-1 odds before the controversy a couple weeks ago, they were in that top tier, not the very top, but at the bottom of the top tier, Baylor, as favorites to win the national title. Then the controversy came, downgraded to about 20-1 to win the title. Now, what's interesting is, yes, a significant downgrade, but on the other hand, still in that second tier, you know, amongst the top dozen or so teams to win the title. So I think continuity on offense is a good thing. And obviously for a team that's been just so good the last 2 years. I mean, if you look at their last 2 years, is, you know, almost as good as anyone, right up there in the top 5, I think, for sure, over the last 2 seasons. And since, you know, obviously they're not losing players, it seems, that would really be impactful this year, I'm of the belief that Baylor this year downgraded somewhat, but still a top-tier team. But if you could make a bet on what's the chance of them winning a title in the next 5 years, or what's the chance of them winning the Big 12 in the next 5 years, I think that the midterm for Baylor has really, really been impacted negatively with, no, obviously, bad publicity is bad publicity, but you know, are they going to get an elite coach in there now? Is there the chance at a death penalty? I've heard people talk about, not to mention, if you're a superstar recruit right now, are you really inclined to step into these big problems? To me, it's a big negative more in the future than it is this season.
RJ Bell, our guest, as he is every Friday. And RJ, just so you know, when I played, a triple-double for me was 2 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. I did that many times, just so you know.
I was thinking it was you had 3 straight races that you bet the Quinella and didn't cash.
Yeah, that happens sometimes too. But getting back to the Warriors, Cavs, the line now six and a half for game 2. And how much is a reaction to game 1? Because according to your notes, it should have gone down.
All right, so this is very, very insightful, I think. So Vegas and the handicappers, the professional bettors, they have a theory called the zigzag theory. So what's the zigzag? The zigzag is when a team wins one game, you expect them to be a little bit lax the next game, a little bit like, whoo, okay, we're fine, even if we lose this one. Obviously, they want to win, but there's that 1% of intensity they lack. And then the team with the back against the wall, they have that extra 1% of intensity. And historically, is if you look at the results, there is a zig and a zag to NBA playoff results. The market figured that out about 10 years ago, And you'll see a situation typically. So let's look at yesterday as an example. Thursday, they closed a six-point favorite Golden State at home. In game two, they're at home again. Now, you would think, in theory, the fact that they show themselves to be somewhat dominant, Golden State, that the line would go up. But a huge chunk of the time, 90-plus percent of the time, that line would go down because of the zigzag. It would go from like minus six to, let's say, 5.5 or even five, because the sense is Cleveland's not in a true must win, but they really are motivated. The fact that the line has gone up, so game one was minus six for Golden State, now it's 6.5, is a sign that even when you account for the zigzag, that the market has adjusted upwards on Golden State, downwards on the Cavs, and just watching the one game, they're saying to whatever degree we thought that Golden State was better than Cleveland, we actually think they're a little bit better now than we did before game one. And thus, the zigzag effect isn't enough to stop that line from going up. Now Golden State is 6.5. So really, I think it's a heck of a takeaway. The Vegas betting market is saying the distance between these teams, they've reevaluated after just one game, and there's a greater distance to the advantage of Golden State.
Is that similar to the zigzag of first half, second half of games?
You know, you'll see a variation of that. So there are halftime lines. So let's talk about that for a second. Is it halftime of a game? It could be a football game. It could be a basketball game. And the bookmaker will put out a line and say, only for the second half, what do you think is going to happen? Just the second half of the game. Now, what tends to happen is if a favorite is either tied or losing, you expect there to be a regression back to the mean, meaning this team is the better team. They're expected to win by, let's say, 7 points. The fact they're losing, we're not going to expect them to come all the way back and win by seven or more, but we're going to expect them to do better in the second half because of the intensity that's going to come from the fact that they underperformed in the first half. And vice versa is if a favorite is winning by a bunch, let's say they're laying seven and they're up by 30, they actually will end up thinking the underdog will win the second half. Some of that is intensity. Some of it is if you're winning by so much, you don't really care at that point, right? You put in second string guys or whatever. So even within the game, that's an interesting subtle point, is at halftime, if there's an extreme result one way or the other, Vegas expects there to be a regression back to what they initially expected, if not all the way, at least in that direction.
RJ, this is probably kind of a weird question, but as you know, I like to bet on some stuff that a lot of people don't, like Canadian football and hockey in particular.
Yeah, lacrosse.
I don't bet lacrosse. Stop it.
Rock, scissors, paper.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. But I'm curious about hockey in particular because how much action does the Stanley Cup Finals get? I'm sure compared to the other sports, it's not much. But do you anticipate, with Vegas getting a team in 2017, which we're pretty much told is a dead mortal lock now, do you think that that'll create more wagering action if there's a team there and people start to understand the sport a little bit?
I think more, but still not a lot, is, you know, to me, the driver with hockey is that if someone, and I get this question a lot, if someone says, how much betting interest is there in event A or event B or whatever, I usually say, well, how much general interest is there? Like, look at the TV ratings, and whatever the respective TV ratings are relatively. So if one sport's getting double the viewership of another, usually they're going to get about double the betting. The interest on TV is about the same as betting. The one exception is baseball. And the one exception is money line sports. And an example of that is baseball and hockey. So what's a money line sport? In football, it's a point spread sport where if the Patriots are favored over the Texans, it's 7 points, let's say. Everyone understands, okay, Patriots have to win by more than a touchdown for me to cover this bet. Or if I want to bet the underdog, I can either win the game or lose by six or less. And if it falls seven, it's a tie. Anyone that follows betting knows that. That feels intuitive. Is this team going to win by 12 or more points or whatever? A money line is saying, listen, there is no spread. It's just whoever wins the game. But we're going to make you bet more on the favorite team and less on the underdog team. So an example is, an extreme example, Mike Tyson when he lost to Buster Douglas. The odds were like 40 to 1 against Buster Douglas. So if you bet $100 on Buster, you won $4,000 on Buster. But obviously that was a very unlikely event, and you get paid a big amount of money if you're right, if you bet a big dog like that. So, for example, back in 1999, when there was Super Bowl props on the Rams, when they actually had, you know, the injury at quarterback and Vermeil was crying, the odds were 300 to 1 against the Rams winning the Super Bowl. A lot of people cashed big tickets, 300 to 1. So in baseball, and I'll give you a good example, Kershaw tomorrow is at home against the Braves with the Dodgers, obviously, minus 400. So you've got to bet 400 to win 100 on the Dodgers. And if you want to bet the dog, it's like 100 wins you 340 or so, or I think even 360 you can get on the underdog. Now, intuitively, the listeners are thinking, well, do I really think they're going to win 75% of the time? Like, it just doesn't feel intuitive. Like, if you bet like me since you were 14 pretty much every day, it does feel intuitive. But if you're not a hardcore degenerate, is the money line feels a little abstract. And that's why baseball and hockey, because you can't really have, like, 2.5 goals or 2.5 runs. There's just not enough scoring to have a spread, and that's a real negative for the money line sports when it comes to betting handle.
There are a lot of people who can really relate to you doing something every day since they were 14. Betting is not it.
This show has gotten ribald all of a sudden now. By the way, this is fascinating. If you go back 12 baseball seasons, so this season, 11 prior, Kershaw minus 400 is only the fourth time there's been a minus 400 favorite or higher. And those favorites, the other three are 2-1. But just think about this. The fourth biggest favorite of the last dozen years tomorrow, Dodgers over Braves.
Wow. All right. That's RJ Bell, pregame.com. Joins us every Friday. As always, brilliant stuff. RJ, look forward to talking to you again. And looks like we're going to be back out there pretty soon. So we'll have to get together and buy you dinner again, man.
Awesome. And we're going to have to get like a PG-13 or maybe a rated R on the segments now.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
You're the one going back to your 14-year-old days.
Thanks, guys.
RJ.
I've every day since I was 14, I've read something.
Mm-hmm. I started betting when I was in high school, so not quite 14.
I did act as a bookie when I was 11, in the fifth grade. I did a little bookmaking operation. You know, it was just for the school. It wasn't that big of a deal.
Well, always always great having RJ on because he's a genius. You know what else is genius? And Jerome, you're about to celebrate a Father's Day here. This is a new thing for you.
My first. Yeah. I'm excited.
Well, you know what? I hope the girls are listening because you know what they need to do? They need to hook you up with some Omaha steaks, man. That is the perfect gift for Father's Day. And I'll tell you what. This, you cannot beat this deal. $49.99 plus shipping and handling. You can get our limited time Father's Day package. When you go to omahasteaks.com, enter Fred in the search bar to apply the savings, and you want to get something that's going to make Dad happy. Forget Dad. You want to make yourself happy? This is a great, great deal. You're not going to beat this. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving a limited-time offer just to the Blitzers for Father's Day. Here you go, 80% off. 80% off Omaha Steaks Father's Day package. Here's what you get. 2 tender mild filet mignons, 2 bold beefy top sirloins, 4 crispy chicken fried steaks. You know what? I'm already past $49.99. How about this? 4 juicy boneless pork chops. 4 all-beef Omaha steak burgers. 4 award-winning gourmet jumbo franks. 12 ounces of all-beef meatballs. I'm not done yet, guys. 1 pound of steakhouse fries. 4 made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets. 1 Omaha steak seasoning packet. Plus, 4 additional burgers for free. Again, get this limited-time package for only $49.99 when you go to omahasteaks.com. Type Fred in the search bar and add Father's Day package to your cart. That's omahasteaks.com.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from Live Sports Bar on Main. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz here at Live Sports Bar downtown. No A.J. Hoffman today. Jerome Solomon, though, filling in. Always one of my favorite guys to have on the show, not just when he joins us once a week, but simply because Jerome and I go way back, and I always say that I would not be in radio if not for John Granato, who gave me my first job in radio, but I would not be at ESPN if not for Jerome Solomon, who basically came over one day, and we had a bunch of adult beverages, and he talked me into coming to 97.5. Of course, at the time, I thought I was coming over to do a show with Jerome. And then I got here, and it's like, oh, no, we're sticking you on the weekends, and you can either do a show by yourself or you can have this Matt Dean guy as your partner. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll take Matt Dean. It worked out, but, yeah, we never did get to do that show together. So that's why it's always fun to when you get to fill in. Apparently, something is going on out front here where a drunk guy has pulled into the intersection, and now the train can't go anywhere.
Oh.
Some friends of mine just came in and told me that there's – so I hope that wasn't one of our listeners who was here earlier.
When you say pulled into the intersection, did he hit something or he just decided to stop?
I don't know. Did he hit something? He just pulled into the intersection and stopped the train? That's awesome. Okay. So anyway, we're at Live Sports Bar,
drunk
Main Street.
People.
Yeah, it's too early. It's 5:55. If I'm not drunk yet, you should not be drunk yet. That's just a – well, that's probably not fair because I had to start a show at 4, so.
Horrible segue, but did you see this Stanford swimmer drunk rape case?
Yeah,
and what he was sentenced to?
I did.
Tell
the people about it because I'm guessing most people aren't quite aware.
Short story, this kid at Stanford, he's 20-year-old. He was caught outside of a party raping an unconscious woman. She was totally out.
So basically he did what the guy did in Animal House.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a couple of guys passing by and when he saw them, he got up and took off running. And they were like, why are you running? He must have done something. They chased him down, caught him, and held him until police came. And they found out the woman was completely passed out. And he was just sentenced to 6 months in county jail as opposed to a prison and given, probation because the judge said a prison sentence, and I quote this directly from the judge that he said in court, a prison sentence would have had a severe impact on him. I think he will not be a danger to others. Well, unless you're drunk and lying out somewhere.
Yeah, if you're passed out drunk somewhere, he's no danger to you at all unless that's the case.
Goodness gracious.
Oh, boy.
I've heard a bunch about how hard I was on Baylor and Art Browse in that situation. I have absolutely no sympathy and can never garner any for people who rape. That's the ultimate lowest, dirtiest, sickest thing. And
do you can I ask you a question and we'll save the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day for next segment because just curious, as somebody who's recently become a parent of two girls, obviously, you've had strong opinions about this forever anyway. How much does that change your perspective, having a daughter?
It really hasn't. It hasn't at all, actually. I've always had a strong feeling about that and always been hard on that line because I've always said it's dude, it's. I don't think it's physically possible to be hornier than I was in my 20s and 30s and 40s and
50s.
It's just inexcusable. The only change that it's made is now I look at 8-year-olds going, "What the hell are you looking at, dude?" So, I'm a little sensitive to any and all now as opposed to before, but yeah. That general discussion, no, hasn't changed a thing at all.
No, it hasn't for me either, which is funny because I get that a lot. It's, well, you have a daughter. What do you think of this? Well, I think it's horrible whether I had a daughter or not.
Yeah.
And, you get those kind of questions, and it really hasn't changed. I was just curious because this is still a new thing for you as a parent.
Yeah, and I fall into it sometimes, too. I think I may have deleted it out before I filed it, but I'd really have to go and check. But I know I wrote it, so it may have run. But I think I even in dogging Art Briles for how he handled the situation based on what we know, I think he even used for men with daughters. And I'm mad at myself for doing that because you don't need to have daughters to know right or wrong in those kind of situations.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't need to have daughters to know that when a woman shows up and says one of your players assaulted her, that the thing to do is to go, dude, you take off running. The best thing I can tell you now is run, because I'm calling the police now. So if you want to get away, here's your shot. That's the most I'll do for a guy in that situation if I'm his head coach.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back, one more hour to go. You know the party's about to start because Ray Ray's in the house. When Ray Ray shows up, things get wild. Ramon asked something on Twitter that I want to get to when we come back to. He said, before you guys dabbed in radio, how did you view radio media coming from the print side?
Same as I do now.
I'll have a surprising answer for you. So we will take a quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.